1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 15. Verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." When we lived up in Papua New Guinea, one of the things that was always a bit of a nerve-wracking thing is the people of Papua New Guinea are very superstitious and they don't believe in accidents. It doesn't matter if there was a total accident on the road. I mean, just some freak happened. There's no accidents in their mind. It's all on purpose. And payback is the first thing that comes to their mind. If somebody gets hurt, or especially if somebody gets killed in an accident, I mean, it's payback. We've seen situations and heard of situations where, you know, some kid run out in front of a car and it wasn't, I mean, the driver could do nothing, but, you know, the driver stopped to try to help and the villagers demolished the car, smashed it to bits and burned it and, you know, threatened his life. You know, he had to run for his life. You know, things of that nature. That's payback. That's people getting out of control and taking revenge in vengeance in their own hands. You know, in our culture, we may respond to things a little bit more cautiously, but many times with no less evil intent. Right? Though we may not be as violent and as reactive as people of cultures like Papua New Guinea, many times in our heart and in our desires, the actions are really not much different. And as we look at this passage this morning, Paul is addressing the subject of revenge or payback or doing evil for evil. One commentator identified four ways that we can react to each other. I said this was pretty good, so I thought I'd share it with you this morning. Number one, he said there's the cruel way. The cruel way is evil for good. You do good to somebody and he does evil back to you. That's the cruel way of responding. The second way is the common way. That is evil for evil. You do bad to me, I'll do bad to you. All right, that's the common way. The third way is the civil way. That is to do good for good. All right, somebody does good to you and you do good back to them. That's the civil thing to do. But he says the Christian way is to do good for evil. When someone does evil to you, you do good to them. It's not easy. That's a difficult thing. But that's the Christian way to respond. Now, God requires Christians to do this. And in order to do that, we're going to need God's help. It doesn't matter whether we're a teenager or whether an adult or somewhere in between. If we're going to refrain from giving evil for evil, and if we're going to do good for evil, we're going to need God's help. That does not come natural. When somebody's mean to you, it is not natural to be kind and nice and sweet to them. That is not natural. That's beyond our natural abilities. We're going to need God's help. And so this morning, I want us to notice here what Paul says and note three instructions that we find here about giving evil for evil. Three instructions that I think could be of help to us. Number one, the first instruction is, what are we not to do? All right, he starts out telling us what we are not to do. All right, he starts out in the verse, "See then that you render, that none render evil for evil to any man." All right, let's just focus on that. First of all, we notice here the urgency, and it doesn't really stick out so much in our English, but this little phrase, see that. Well, in my thinking in English, that would be just kind of like, all right, here's something. It's kind of a phrase of introduction. But it's more than that. It's far more than that. It literally means to make sure, beware, pay heed. All right? So he's saying, make sure you do this. Make sure that no man give evil for evil. And so there's an urgency here, an importance here. He's saying we need to make sure that we don't fail this instruction, because if we fail this instruction, we are going to do something that only God has the right to do. If we fail to listen to what he's saying here, we're going to get ourselves involved in something that only God has the right to do. We'll see more of that in a moment. Now, what is the prohibition, the thing that he said not to do? Well, he says that we are not to render evil for evil. In other words, we're not to give evil for evil that came to us. When someone does bad to us, we're not to do the same back to them. Rendering evil for evil is doing unto others as they did unto me. All right? You ask a child. You know, a child, you know, a boy just hits his brother. You say, "Why did you hit your brother?" "Because he hit me first." All right? Or he might say, "Because he took my toy." All right? So it's returning evil for evil. Pretty typical of kids, and they're pretty transparent. They usually just, you know, tell it like it is. But you know, road rage is an example of adults acting the same way. You know, somebody pull out in front of them, and you get mad at them, you know, and they get very violent sometimes. You know, they got, somebody did evil to me, and I'm going to do evil to them. You know, and, you know, we've all experienced some of that. You know, sometimes we don't even know it. The other day, I don't even know what I did. I don't know if I did anything, but I pulled out of a corner, and I thought I followed all the rules and did everything I was supposed to do, and this guy that was behind me pulls up beside me and swears at me and yells and curses at me, like, what did I do? I don't even know what I did, you know. But obviously he was ticked about something that I did, and I'm not even sure what it was. But, you know, there's that reaction, evil for evil. You do wrong to me, I'm going to get back with you. I'm going to get even with you, you know, because I don't like what you did. And then even in marriage, you know, we might be giving our spouse a silent treatment because they said or did something we didn't like. So I'm just not going to talk to you for the rest of the day because I don't like what you did. Or maybe you treat him in some other bad way. That's the same thing we're talking about here. So evil for evil comes in a lot of different forms. It isn't just, you know, somebody hurt me, so I'm going to give them the same thing back. But there's all kinds of ways that it applies. And it applies to every level of people. It applies to the children. It applies to the teenagers. It applies to the adults. All of us are tempted to give evil for evil. And God says we're not to do that. We're not to give evil for evil. The returning evil for evil is called vengeance. Vengeance. Webster's dictionary defines vengeance as this. He says it's the infliction of pain on another in return for an injury or offense. So it's the infliction of pain on somebody else. Doing something to somebody else that is painful because they hurt me. I'm going to get them back. They deserve to be punished for what they did to me, and I'm going to make sure they do. Right? They're going to suffer for it. You know, notice what we read over in Psalm 94. Psalm 94 says this. Listen and see if you can pick up what I'm talking about. Psalm 94, verse number 1 says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Now, what do we learn about vengeance there? To who does vengeance belong? It belongs to God. Vengeance belongs to God. Vengeance is not my job. Vengeance is God's job, and it's something that God must do. All vengeance belongs to Him because He's the only one that is able to do it justly. See, God can pay back wrong that another did because God can do it without sin. He can do it justly. He can do it with the right motives. Not only that, but God knows all the motives of those involved. Somebody hurts you, and you don't know why they did that. The guy that screamed and yelled at me when I turned the corner. I don't know. Maybe he was just having a bad day. Maybe he just had a fight with his friend. I don't know what was going on, but something got him fired up, or at least he thought I did something to hurt him. I don't know his motives. I don't know anything about what was going on in his mind. So for me to react and get mad at him, there would be no reason for that. I don't know, and it wouldn't be right. We don't know the extent of the harm. You know, sometimes somebody hurts us and we feel like that really, really hurt me and I'm going to get them back. But we don't know how to evaluate the amount of harm. So God knows all of that. The required just payment. I mean, we might think, well, he did that to me. I know what I'm going to do to him. I got plans. I'm going to really let him have it. No, God knows exactly what is just. In our minds, many times, we'll give back more than is just. And so we don't really have the ability to do that. And we don't know the best time to deal with it. We don't know the best way to deal with it. And all of these things are things that God knows that we don't know. And God can return vengeance without sinning. We can't. Because every time we get involved in vengeance, we end up doing wrong. We don't know some of the details. We don't know how severe to be. We don't know some of their motives. There's a lot of things we can't know because it's beyond our knowing. But God knows all that. And so that's why it says, vengeance belongeth unto God. It is God's job to repay wrong. It's important for us to remember that. Now, as we examine the Bible, we see some of what the Bible says about returning evil for evil. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13 says, whoso returneth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. So God says, if you give evil for something good that was done to you, you're going to have evil you know, visit you all the time. All right. And then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." God says, don't recompense evil. Wait on the Lord. God will work it out. And, you know, in our minds, we think, but if I don't take care of this right now, you know, then they're going to get away with it. No, they're not going to get away with anything. God is the judge. He sees it all. God will settle the score. We may not see him settle the score. You might think, well, you know, how long do I have to wait before God settles the score? God may not settle the score in this life, but he's going to settle the score. God knows exactly what's happened, and God will take care of it. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 19 or 29 says, "Say not, I will do to him as he had done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say, I'm going to give him what he gave me. I'll be fair. He punched me, I'll punch him back. All right? And he hurt me, I'll hurt him back. She said that about me, I'll say the same thing about her. No, God says, don't do that, because it's not our job. Romans chapter 12, and verses 17 and 19. Romans 12 is a fantastic chapter of the Bible. But Romans 12, 17 and 19 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." God said, hang on your wrath. Don't get angry. It's not your job. Don't take vengeance in your own hands. That's my job, not your job. So anytime we get involved in payback, whether it be just saying something nasty about something that they said about me, or hurting them, or hitting them, or being unkind to them, or ignoring them, or whatever it is that we're trying to do to irritate the other person that has irritated us, God says we're taking vengeance in our own hands, and God said that is not right. Vengeance belongs to me. You're stealing something that belongs to me. And when we get involved in what belongs to God, we mess up God's work. So we need to be very careful about that. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." God said, I want you to bless, not curse. I want you to bless instead of trying to take revenge in your own hands. I don't want you to do that. I want you to bless instead. God says, if you do that, I'll bless you. Now, that is not easy. It's not easy to bless someone who has hurt us. It's not easy to do kind things to someone who has been unkind to us. Not easy. I don't find that easy. I find it very difficult. But with God's help, that's what he's asking us to do. Now, when God said, see that none render evil for evil, he was clearly forbidding that we pay back hurt to somebody else. And you know, we must not harbor bitterness in our hearts. That's the hardest part. You know, you may not actually physically hurt somebody that has hurt you, but in your heart, if every time you think about them, you think, oh, I can't stand them. I wish I could take care of them. And you get the bitterness in your heart, it's just as bad. God talks about that hatred in our heart. Jesus mentioned it in Matthew 5 or 6 when during the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, if we've got hatred in our heart, that's just like murder. God says, I don't want you to have those bad thoughts in your heart, that bitterness, that anger towards someone else. You say, Pastor, you don't know how they hurt me. That's not the point. God said it's not our job to pay back. And keeping it in your heart and brewing over it and bittering over it and boiling every time you hear the subject mentioned is hurting you and it's displeasing God. Bitterness is not the answer. Not only that, but we must not think evil while we're doing good. You might be kind to someone just because you know you have to be, but in your heart you're saying, I wish I could punch him. I don't want to be nice to him, but I wish I could hurt him. Well, then you're being a hypocrite. You're trying to fake it on the outside like, hi, I'm nice to see you today. You know, that's being a hypocrite. We shouldn't do that either. See, God knows our heart. And the whole thing is God says, I want you to do what's right from your heart, because vengeance is mine. So we need to give these things to God and say, God, this person has hurt me. That has happened in my life that has hurt me. God, please take care of it and leave it with God. Instead of trying to help God and say, God, you're not doing anything very fast here, so I'm going to give him a kick or I'm going to punch him a little bit and I'm going to hurt him just a little bit because, you know, you're not doing anything, God. And as soon as we do that, we're stealing something that belongs to God and we're getting God's way and God will not be able to do what he had planned. See, God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will repay. That's a promise from God. Someone has hurt you. God will take care of it. Maybe not in this life, maybe in the next, but God said, I will take care of it. I will take care of it. You can trust God, and we need to leave it in God's hands. And that's sometimes not easy for us because we think, well, God, right now is when he hurt me, and now is when I want to see him suffer a bit, God. And God's not doing it right now. But God says, I will. I will. We need to take him at his word. Study those verses over there in Romans 12 again and meditate on that when God said, I will repay. But we've got to let him do that. We must ask God to remove completely the spirit of revenge from our hearts. You know, if you've got a spirit of revenge in your heart where you just can't wait to see something bad happen to somebody that's hurt you, that spirit of revenge is hurting you and is disobeying God. And it's not going to be pleasing to him, and it's not going to solve the problem. We need to ask God to remove that spirit of revenge from our hearts and quash every trace of it so that there's no revenge in my heart. And you know, one of the best things that I have found as I've struggled with this over the years, here's the best thing you can do if that's in, right now in your heart you're having trouble, is you can begin to pray for that person. Not God send down fire and smite them dead. No, not that. But pray that God will bless them. Pray that God would take care of them. Pray that God would meet their needs. You say, Pastor, that's so hard, man. I want to pray that God will punch him. But see, if we give it to God and we pray the right thing, we pray for the person, I have seen in my own experience, when times like that have happened, that God has taken away the bitterness from my heart. It's gone. And I don't have that bitterness anymore toward that person because I've prayed for them instead of praying against them. Now, I struggle. It's not like I'm, you know, got all the answers on it, but I know that this has worked. I've done it. I've seen it happen in my heart where God has changed my heart as I prayed for the person instead of praying against them. And God will do it for you as well. So we see, first of all, the urgency, then the prohibition, that's what we're not to do, and then the extent of it. What did he say about the extent of all this? He says, see that none render evil for evil. All right, so he says none of us, not one of us are to, allowed to do this. It is not our job. It's God's job. Let none render evil for evil. And then he says, don't render evil for evil to any man, to anybody. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how bad they've hurt you. Doesn't matter what they've done that has emotionally crushed you, or what they've done that is stolen from you, or what they've done that has hurt you in some way financially, or hurt you in some way emotionally, or hurt you even physically. It doesn't matter what they've done. We're not to render evil to any man. Vengeance is not our job. God does place vengeance sometimes in the hands of government. We read over in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, where God said that the government has the responsibility to carry out vengeance. But it's not a personal vengeance. It's supposed to be just. It's supposed to be handled through the court, and it's supposed to be done in a proper way. Now, sometimes our governments aren't the best at this. But God has placed it in their hands. Now, if the judges and the courts and the law of the land mess it up, God's going to take care of it. Right, God's going to deal with them. But God does place vengeance in their hands, but he never places vengeance in my hands. He never places vengeance in the individual's hands. He says, don't mess with it, because if you do, you're going to mess it up, and you're going to mess up what I plan to do, and you're going to get yourself in trouble, and it's going to get you into sin by displeasing God. So the extent of it is that it includes all of us, and it includes every situation. So right now, you may be thinking of something or someone who has hurt you. They have mistreated you in some way. They have done something bad to you. They have cheated you or stolen from you or been unkind to you or hit you or hurt you or said nasty things about you. God says that's the person that you need to forgive. That's the person that you need to pray for. That's the person that you need to ask God to take away that bitterness from your heart. And not to try to revenge. Because as soon as you revenge, you're getting involved in something that belongs only to God. Vengeance belongs to God. We find, secondly, what we are to do. Here's what we are to do. So we saw what we are not to do. Now he tells us what we are to do. We're to do just the opposite. Okay? He says, see then that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Ever follow that which is good. Now the word but there is that contrasting but again. And the word Allah in the Greek language isn't used an abundance of times in the Bible. But when it is there is a punch to tell us that this is the opposite. Alright? So this is what you've been doing. This is what you want to do. But, don't do that. Do the opposite. Do the opposite. So he's urging us to do the opposite of what our flesh wants to do. And he says, see then that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever. Whatever there literally is a word that means always. Always, but always do the opposite. But always do the opposite. And so God is urging us to do the opposite. Now, what did he say to do? He says here that we are to follow that which is good. I think it's interesting. The word follow there is a word that literally means to chase. It means to chase. Now, if you're going to chase something, you're running after it to catch it. You're running after it to try to catch it. I remember years ago when I was a youth pastor for the first year of our marriage, one of the activities that we had, we were in a farming community, and I asked one of the farmers if he would loan us one of his pigs, and we were going to put grease all over the pig, and we're going to have a greased pig chase. So all the teenagers told him, wear your old grubby clothes and come, and we had this pig in this pen, and they were going to try to catch this pig. Well, the poor pig about had a heart attack by the time the day was done, but he lived through it. But they would grab his leg, but it was so slippery, it slipped right out of him. But they were chasing to catch him. They'd run and dive at him, and they'd chase after him, corner him in this corner, he'd run up and they're chasing to get him. That's the way that God says we're to do with good. He said we're to chase it, run after it, grab it, don't let it go, run after good. I wonder why God told us to do that about good. I think it's probably because we don't naturally think of good. He says, you're going to have to chase after good because good's going to try to avoid you. Good's not the kind of thing you're really going to want to do. You're going to have to chase after it. You're going to have to run after it and grab it and catch it in order to do good, because that's not what you're going to want to do. You're going to want a revenge. God says, don't do that. Instead, chase after the good. Chase after the good. Seek to get it. Find it. Run after it. Chase it. Catch it. And it's a habitual action. The grammar here is used as something that's done over and over again. So he says, every time someone does wrong to you, it doesn't matter if it's five times in the day. He says, chase after the good. Grab something good. Think of something good that you can do. And when they do something mean to you, and immediately we need to start chasing good and say, all right, now God, what can I do that is kind to them? I want to get back at them. I want to say something mean. Lord, please help me to find something good that I can do. And you chase after something good to try to think of something good that you can do instead of responding the way that your flesh wants to respond. Chase after the good. Follow after the good. And it's very important that we do that. And by good, he's referring to anything that is pleasant, agreeable, excellent, upright, honorable. All of these describe this word good. And so it is the nice things, the kind things that we can do for someone else that God wants us to chase after. We see how Jesus defined good in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44. Matthew 5 and verse number 44, Jesus really kind of comes on strong about this. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What did he say? He said we're to love our enemies. We're to bless those that curse us. We're to do good to those that hate us. We're to pray for those that despitefully use us. They treat us bad. They say nasty things to us. They're mean to us. They're cross at us. They're unkind. Whatever it may be, he says, pray for them. And pray for those that persecute you. Now, how can we possibly love our enemies? An enemy is someone who's against us. Doesn't necessarily mean we're against them, but they're against us. They're working against us. They seem like every time I'm around them, they're on my back. They're negative. They're cross with me. They're not kind to me. They're not nice to me. They're treating me like they're my enemy. God says we're to love them. Now, remember what the word love means. Love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. We don't necessarily have to like what the person's doing to love them. So as I'm on a walk this morning, the Lord was working in my mind and on my heart about this. You know, there's people that rub us the wrong way. They don't respond like we would like them to respond. But we can still love them. Treat them with gentleness, kindness, tenderness. Try to meet their needs. Try to be an encouragement to them, even though they may not be doing nice things to me. And we need to love our enemies. Even if we don't like our enemies, we need to love our enemies. Remember, love is an action. Love is giving to meet a need in their life. Their need may be a need for prayer. Their need may be a need for forgiveness. Their need may be for some kindness. I don't know what their need may be, but you can seek to meet a need. Do good to them that persecute you and despitefully use you. Jesus said to pray for them. He didn't say pray against them. He said pray for them. Again, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. He didn't say, do unto others as they have done unto you. He said, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And we don't want people to be mean to us, even when we're grumpy. We want them to be kind to us. And God says, do to them what you want done to you. You know, none of us like people saying nasty things about us. We don't like people being mean to us. We don't like people yelling at us and screaming at us or swearing at us or hurting us. We don't like that. God says, if you don't want it done to you, don't do it to anybody else. That's basically what he's saying in that verse as we summarize it. We're to treat others the way we want to be treated. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 is one that really fits in harmony with our text this morning. Romans 12, again that chapter that I mentioned. Romans 12, verse number 21. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, think about this verse. What's it saying? He said we need to be careful. If we are not careful, evil will overcome us. The word overcome there means to conquer. So he says, be not overcome, be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And so, when evil comes on us, there is a temptation for evil to respond and to have evil for evil. And if we do, then evil has conquered us. So you think about it like this. The devil's trying to get you to do wrong. And so he sends so-and-so into your life to be mean to you. And they're mean to you. And the devil said, all right, punch them back. Say mean things back to them. Talk bad about them. Be unkind to them. Go ahead. They deserve it. Let them have it. And if we do, evil has overcome us. Evil has won. The devil wins. And he's there saying, good job. Give him another one. He needs another one. Good job. That's right. And we've honored the devil. We've done what he wanted. And we've fulfilled the lust of our flesh. We have gone against what God wants. God says, don't render evil for evil. And the devil says, go ahead. They deserve it. And he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When evil attacks, instead of responding with evil, he says, overcome evil with good. Be good to them. Be kind to them. Be gentle toward them. And if we do, then we will overcome. We will be victorious over the evil if we respond with good. If we respond with evil, then evil has conquered us. If we respond with good, then we've overcome the evil. We've conquered the evil and have done what's right. Many times when we try to respond in the flesh, we don't just respond to what they did. Many times we try to give it an extra punch. Or pay them a little bit extra for what they deserve. And if we choose to get even, we disobey God. We try to do God's job, and then we keep God from doing what he wanted to do, what he planned to do. And it makes the problem worse. And we get defeated by evil, and the devil gains a chance to accuse us before God. And then the devil goes to God and says, hey, did you see that Christian down there? Did you see how they responded? Wasn't that great, God? They punched them back. Yeah, see, what kind of Christian is that, Lord? Huh? Look what they did. They said something nasty right back to that person that was nasty to them. And he accuses us to God. And we've hurt the cause of the Lord. Remember, we are not just to do good to those that hurt us when we're feeling super spiritual. Because that's not all that often. All right? When we're feeling super spiritual and something mean happens to us and I feel really super spiritual, so I was like, oh, that's okay. I'm not going to get mad at you. That's all right. You can get mad at me if you want to. And we handle it. He says, not just then, but it's all the time. All the time. We need to always chase after what is good. Run fast to catch it. It's not easy to do good when our flesh wants to get even. It is not easy. I don't find that easy. And you don't find it easy either. It is not easy to do good when our flesh wants to get even. But God said that's what we need to do. It's the right thing to do. Now, number three, I want us to, the third instruction is to see here to whom we are to do good. To whom are we to do good? Well, I do see, so he says again in our verse, see then that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Among yourselves, it literally is referring to toward one another. So he's talking to the Christians at Thessalonica, and he's addressing the congregation there. He's saying, all right, to you who are in Christ in Thessalonica, you need to treat each other in this way. No rendering evil for evil. If one of your brothers or sisters in Christ is unkind to you, treat them with love and tenderness. Don't try to get even with them. Getting even is going to mess it up. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt them. It's going to mess up God's plan. God is the revenger of all evil, not you. So he says, do it among yourselves. But you know, this broadens out, I think, beyond just in church. It moves into every area of our Christian life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, we have... as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. We're to do good, especially to those who are Christians. And you know, we need to carry this into our homes as well. Because you know, if you don't practice something in your home, then it's going to be harder to practice it in your church, and even harder to practice it in public. All right? Because we need to practice something where we're at every day. And we need to deal with it in our homes. When your brother or sister are mean to you, how are you going to respond? Instead of being mean back, they hit you. Instead of clubbing them back, they say something mean about you. Instead of snotting back at them and saying something mean and ornery, instead of hurting them in some way, they get mad at you, your spouse gets mad at you, whatever. And they're upset with you. Instead of giving them the silent treatment or ignoring them the rest of the day or being unkind to them or doing little things to irritate them that you know bug them, don't do that. That's our flesh. That's what our flesh wants to do. That's what my flesh wants to do. But it's not right. God says that's what we need to work against. We need to practice this in our home. We need to then practice it also in our church. And so if we practice it at our home, and we practice it in our church, then we'll be able to practice it in the world around us. You go to work and somebody's unkind to you. There's a great temptation to treat them badly because of that. God says treat them lovingly. Treat them with goodness. Someone pulls out in front of you and scares the liver out of you when you're, you know, they're racing on the road. Instead of getting mad at them, pray for them. There's somebody that's got a problem. They need your prayers. And we need to respond gently and kindly in all these issues of life. And I mean, folks, I'm preaching it myself as much as anybody because I have the same response that all of us have is when someone hurts me, my first response is, I'll get them back. That's not what God wants. God wants us to stay calm. He wants us to return good for evil, not evil for evil. And it involves every single one of us. You young people, it involves you just as much as it involves any of the adults. We all need to work at it. And he says, do this toward those that are toward one another and toward all men. Everybody. Everybody you meet, you need to treat them the same way. We need to treat those that persecute us the same way. Remember, we're not facing the same thing the Thessalonians were facing. There were people that are actually hurting them. There were people coming to them and stealing from their putting them in prison because of their faith in Christ, or hurting one of their relatives, maybe the wife, you know, the door gets kicked in and they grab the husband and take him off to jail and beat him and put him in prison or maybe even kill him. And the wife, what is she supposed to do? You know, there's going to be a great temptation to just feel like, if I ever get my hands on them, I'll do something terrible. No, God says, don't do that. Do good to them, even if they hurt severely. I mean, I just try to picture myself in that situation. They come in and they take the husband and the wife and the kids are left alone. And the wife, there's going to be a great tendency for her to get bitter and angry and furious and mean and just try to get revenge. God says, no, don't do that. Treat all men the same way with goodness. Now, folks, this is something that is not easy to do. And I said right in the very opening of the message this morning that if we're going to do this, we're going to need God's help. We really are. We're going to need God's help. We need God's help to be able to respond this way. This is not our normal response. And whatever your situation may be, if you will respond God's way, God will work it out. God will take care of the person that has hurt you. God will take care of the person who has cheated you. God will take care of the person who has been unkind to you or been insulting to you or in some way abused you in some way. God will deal with them. They're not going to get away with it. We may not see it right now, but God said, I will repay. And that's a promise from God. He said, I'll take care of it. We need to leave it in His hands. And the best thing that we can do is just come to God and say, God, I need your help. I want to get even. I want to hurt them. They hurt me. But we need to pray for them. It's not easy. I've been hurt by people. People have done mean and terrible things to me. And there's times when that's happened, I've just felt like, you know, I felt kind of like James and John when they asked the Lord if they could pray down fire from heaven against this city that wouldn't let them sleep there. And sometimes I felt like that. Caught myself even praying, Lord, just deal with them. Judge them. You know, burn their house down or whatever, Lord. I mean, my flesh. That's not what God wants. My flesh is wrong. We need to leave it with God. Say, God, bless them. Take care of them. They need you. They need your help. They need your encouragement. Forgive me, God, for responding the wrong way. So this morning, as we wrap it all together here, what we need to do is, as we approach situations where we're treated wrongly, we need to remember what God says. God said, I want you to respond with goodness. Chase after the good. don't respond with evil. And in order to do that, we're going to have to be walking with the Lord. One of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness and kindness. All right, so love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. One of those fruits there is goodness. Where goodness there deals with being kind. We need that. We need God's help. We can't do it ourselves. So we need to stay close to God, spend quality time with the Lord every day, keep our heart right with the Lord so that when the problem comes, we'll respond in a positive way, not a negative. But then in your own heart right now, maybe you have responded in the wrong way to a situation. Didn't solve the problem, did it? Just made it worse. Made the other person more upset, more furious. Didn't really take care of the problem, and it didn't really make you feel any better afterwards either. The right thing to do is the hard thing to do. To humble ourselves and come to God and say, God, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And then go to that person and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have responded like I did. And our great temptation when we apologize is to say, but if you, no, leave the word but out. Forget that part of it. Just say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have responded like I did. And let God deal with the rest of it. That's the right thing to do. It's the hard thing, but if you want peace in your heart, and you want to be right with God, and you want God to be able to deal with the situation, that's the right thing to do. So there's two things we need to deal with this morning. First of all, ask God to help us as we face situations where people are unkind to us, that we will respond with goodness. And we need to ask God for strength. Keep close to the Lord so that we can do that. And then the second thing is for all those that we have hurt with our mouth, with our actions, with our deeds, with our comments, to try to get even, we need to ask God to forgive us. The bitterness that is in our heart, we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to begin to pray for the person that has hurt us and ask God to forgive us and then muster up your greatest strength and go talk to the person and say, I'm sorry. I should not have responded as I did. Please forgive me. It's the right thing to do. May God help us do what's right.